Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. I would like to welcome you to Live Without Limits. And this week's segment on Live Without Limits is going to deal with the Rehabilitation Act of 1973 and how it brought about the Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990. In 1973, the Congress enacted the Rehabilitation Act of 1973, and under Title V, there were several sections. 501 dealt with 503 and 504 dealt with employment, 502 dealt with independent living, and 501 dealt with accessibility. And what this meant was that during this time, the government was beginning to address issues that affected people with disabilities, but they had not come full circle. It's been a process of a lot of things that have been going on over the years, but initially what is going on is that for the first time, they begin to address the needs of people with disabilities, and also if anyone did any business with the government, then they were basically bound to employ people with disabilities. Under 503 and 504 at the time, it was that if you had a contract with the government for $10,000, then you were encouraged to hire people with disabilities to fill positions, but they still did not have any guarantees under this law to help people with disabilities. That did not come about until 1990 with the enactment of the Americans with Disabilities Act. Now, under 503 and 504, companies who did hire people with disabilities were usually the states and the federal government, but it still had not seeped into the private sector. What they were doing was getting around the law by addressing the fact that if they had people working for them who did not find, had some kind of accident or became disabled later in life, then that's how they defined their hiring of people with disabilities. But it did not really address the needs of people with disabilities. One thing this law did do was help open the door for accessibility. And how this worked was that you started seeing buildings built more with ramps, built more with elevators, a lot of things that were actually built for people with disabilities to adapt to their needs are now commonplace in the workplace and is thought as second nature. Things like bars on the walls in bathrooms or larger bathrooms with the baby changing device. The reason for this was that I've noticed that people just will use the larger bathrooms because it gives more room, not thinking of the fact that someone might come along who possibly would need to use it, and then you're putting them at a disadvantage because they don't have an option to just go and use another toilet stall because they have to hold on to a bar or something to sit down or help themselves up. But, and I've also noticed that in certain places where, in gyms where there are no dressing rooms, people will use that larger bathroom to change and not caring whether or not someone comes through who really needs it. For example, I belong to a health club where they do not have changing rooms because it was they purchased the club from someone else and they did not have a large enough facility or a need for dressing rooms at the time. So what happens is people will come along and they will take the larger bathroom with the bars in it. And a couple of times I've had to kind of request it because it's hard for me to get into smaller stalls because if I when I sit down, I have to hold on to something. And I've noticed that what happens is if I make remarks about it, that, well, are you happy I got out of there? Well, that's being insulting to the person who really needs it. You need to concern someone's feelings. Now, let's talk about the Americans with Disabilities Act. For the first time, you started seeing the language change. Instead of using handicapped, they started saying disabled. And why handicapped is being degrading is because at the turn of the 20th into the 20th century, people used to stand on the street corners with their cap in hand asking for money. So the term became handicapped because people just assumed that if you have a disability, that you stand on a street corner asking for money. Most people today with disabilities work. They hold jobs. They're valuable people within the community, but they're still being segregated. So we need to look at ways that we can help people with disabilities to become integrated into society and not be thought of as helpless or worthless. Society has created an environment that has put people with disabilities at a disadvantage, even though the laws are out there asking for someone to help people become independent. Now, I would like to get into some specifics about the law and how it works and some things that you can help people with disabilities who are very much a part of society. Now, the Americans with Disabilities Act came about in 1990 simply because for the first time, or rather it goes back to, in 1973, the individual after the Rehabilitation Act of 1973, the government finally enacted in 1977 the Individual Disability Education Act. That's known as Public Law 94-142. And for the first time, people with disabilities were guaranteed the right to an education up to the age of 21. And you started seeing special education classes and teachers sitting down with parents and writing IEPs. That's an individual education plan. What that is a way to set goals for the individual on things that they are supposed to achieve for the year. And how that you can even take that situation and adapt it to the workplace for anyone who wants to set goals for themselves in the workplace. So that's one way of looking at it and how it affects our everyday life. And another way is that once the Americans with Disabilities Act became law, and this came about in 1990 because you had a lot of people with disabilities getting out of school at age 21 and possibly graduating college and not having the opportunity to get gainful employment. So that this is why the two laws affect each other and help each other, because the Rehabilitation Act of 73 under Section 503 and 504 talked about employment, and it did say that and by that time it had changed to the point of saying that any company who hired people with disabilities would have to, if they did it even as much as $5,000 worth of business with the government. But at the same time, they were still getting around this law and they were not adapting to the needs. They were not willing to adapt to the needs. Because if you have someone that is blind with all the software out there today, they can hold and do the same job that someone is sighted can do, but you just need to adapt the workplace so that they can have mobility in the workplace. If you have a desk in a zigzag and they need a straight line, then it's going to be very difficult for them to maneuver in the workplace. So those were some of the things that were addressed by the Rehabilitation Act of 1973, but they were not followed. And with the Americans with Disabilities Act, basically what that did was define what a disability is, and anyone who was born with something where they were determined to be disabled, or someone who became disabled through a loss of a limb or, say, cancer later in life, then they became considered disabled. So they are covered by the Americans with Disabilities Act, but you will have people who are not disabled who try to claim ADA discrimination in the workplace, and what that has done is create a situation where the laws have been changed and narrowed by the Supreme Court so that it's very hard for people with disabilities to be able to even get the services they need and deserve. So you need to look at some things that you can do that would help someone with a disability to become more readily integrated into life and into the workplace. And there's a lot of ways that you can go about that. Just need to think about the things that you have done over the years and how you can become more empathetic to someone with a disability and help them to become a part of society. What we would like to do is to discuss some of the things that have been covered and addressed by the Americans with Disabilities Act and the ADA. Now, if you want to think about it in terms of how you would go about putting yourself in the situation of how you would feel. Now, I have a sister who works in special education, and yet she has two sisters with disabilities, and her attitude towards her sisters are that they're helpless and they're worthless and they got to be taken care of and she's got to be responsible for it, and she resents it and feels guilty about it. And her only way of dealing with it when she gets around her sisters is to become defensive and very controlling. And then what she does is she becomes very critical and then tries to turn it around where it's their fault that she's being put in this position instead of understanding why she reacts the way she does. She just needs to understand and find a way to relate to her sisters as people and not helpless and worthless. And in so many ways, she's not any different than anyone else in how they treat people with disabilities. And maybe we need to learn what a disability is for existence. People, you've heard a lot about bipolar disorder, and that's a mental illness, but you also have schizophrenia. These are types of disabilities that are hidden disabilities. They're things that people have that if they're treated, they could function in the world and you would never know there was anything wrong with them. And yet, if it becomes known because of episodes they have by not being on their medication, then they get put away in an institution and people just want to pretend that that doesn't exist. It's easy to not admit that something is that what a disability is and to help people with disabilities become a part of society than it is to help people with disabilities to become viable and self-sufficient. And I'm a part of a forum on the internet on Yahoo that's for people with disabilities, and you find so many people with disabilities who are in their 30s who are now just becoming independent and living on their own because their parents have not gone out or tried to help them become independent. And there's organizations out there, but so many of the times they're out there to help the most severe person with a disability who needs services and outreach services from the community, but they don't really know how to adapt to someone who has multiple disabilities but is functioning enough to be able to be integrated into society. And what we need to do is change our attitudes. And if you change your attitudes, then by treating someone with a disability as though they're human, then you can create more, you can build their self-esteem. For example, my sister is only deaf. She had a lot of potential, but she grew up in an environment where she was always being told, you're handicapped, you can't live on your own, you can't think for yourself, you can't hold a job. So what happened is she has internalized that to the point that she has very low self-esteem. And then when she gets badgered and she doesn't understand and she, because she has such low self-esteem, what will happen is she will internalize it and she'll start beating up on herself. And then my mother has the gall to say, oh, but she's not hurting anyone. Well, that's like saying she's not a real person. And if she's a real person, then she is hurting someone when she's hurting herself. And many a times people in society, and the way they talk about people with disabilities is very much a detriment. Because if you think about it, not only that when you use the term handicapped are you being denigrating, but when you talk about someone who uses a wheelchair and you say wheelchair bound, now their wheelchair is their means of mobility, so the better way to say it is an individual who uses a wheelchair. It may be more wordy, but it's more of a positive statement. So as you can see, your tone of language and how you speak to someone, whether it's someone with a disability or any able-bodied person, becomes a very important part of how you can be supportive and positive in the way you treat someone. For many years, people would say deaf people are hard of hearing instead of saying someone with a hearing loss. And even older people eventually lose their hearing or lose their sight. So, and you would never think of saying about them that they're hard of hearing or they're deaf and dumb, but yet you would refer to someone who was born deaf that way, which is very negative. How can we turn around these things and become and think more positively? That is the idea of how the ADA was addressed. And they talked about employment and options for employment. And one of the things that made or put teeth into this law is the fact that someone with a disability who feels that they're being discriminated against can easily file a lawsuit with the EEOC or the Department of Justice. But even there, you almost have to be, the burden of proof for discrimination is so hard that it is hard to get a law, to sue a company and prove that they're liable. There are just so many things that need to be opened up, and that's all the ADA and the Rehabilitation Act of 73 have done, is open the doors for dialogue and how we can change how we see or think of people with disabilities. Now, one of the things I'd like to also go into is some things about accessibility. If you think about it, when a lot of buildings that were built after 1973 and even 1990 more so, because with the ADA it talked about accessibility, it also talked about employment within the state and the federal government. And that's why you will notice in the federal government or in the state government, more people with disabilities have gained full employment than in the private sector, because the private sector is still afraid. And then you have insurance companies today who don't want to insure people with disabilities because they feel like they're more liable to be off of work. That's also a reason that companies in the private sector are afraid to hire people with disabilities instead of being open to accepting someone, because they look at the fact that you have able-bodied people who take time off and use the health issues. So therefore, it has affected people with disabilities and how they're addressed or looked at in the workplace. Now, one of the things I would like to get into is to help you understand how that in essence, when the ADA became law, there was 54 million people, or almost 20% of the population, who was considered disabled. Now, today, with a lot of senior citizens, it is also because it's risen to 57 million people who are affected by ADA, and that's a large segment of people, but it's so small when you think of the fact that there's 250 million people in this country, and other countries do not have laws that affect people with disabilities like we do in the United States, and many of them are still feeling this discrimination. So what we need to do is learn how we can change attitudes. And to change attitudes, you need to sit down and think about what is a disability and how does it affect an individual. People look at someone with Down syndrome, and they say, oh, this poor, helpless person, they'll never be able to walk. They'll never be able to talk. They'll never be able to do anything. I know when my sister started teaching in 75, and she was teaching at the time that she was teaching, it was instead of children with developmental disabilities, it was mildly retarded and moderately retarded and severely retarded. And you will hear people talk about when they get angry or they think that someone's behavior is different, they right away use the term retard, which is a very negative term, instead of just accepting the fact that someone has a developmental disability. And I remember my sister had someone in her classroom that had a severe considered Down syndrome, and you don't hear the term anymore because it's now a developmental disability. And I've seen where people with developmental disabilities can live independently with supportive living, and they can work in the workplace with supportive employment. A lot of these things came about with the Rehabilitation Act of 1973, but got more teeth in 1990. Now, with the Rehabilitation Act of 73, where you saw people with developmental disabilities working was in grocery stores or in fast food places like McDonald's, where they were the busboys, and even in a place like a mall where they have the food court, because they can do the menial jobs that are tedious and someone else would not want to do, and to them it's a paycheck. It's giving something. It's giving their life meaning by doing something that they enjoy doing. But they usually have someone that is a job coach on site as they learn how to do the job, just to make sure that they understand what they're doing and they do the job to their best ability. And then along the way they kind of get left alone to do their own choices and how they do something. But for them, I mean, just being able to be among within the community and help people or do something where they're getting a small income is a good way for them to be productive. For many years before these laws came on, you would have people with severe disabilities hospitalized or institutionalized and hidden away, and society would pretend they did not exist. Today, you go anywhere, you'll see people in wheelchairs in the mall, or you'll see people with developmental disabilities in the mall. Now, you'll see people with mobility problems walking around and in the workplace. But it took many years for this to happen, and the ADA was passed in 1990. It took effect in 1992, and this is now 2007. So that's 16 years that we've had this law in the books, and we're still a far cry from having people with disabilities becoming integrated into society. Because I was born in 1951, I had a hard road to hoe in getting gainful employment. I worked with the state in a position that was titled Human Services Technician Senior. It was mainly a social work position, and yet my background is counseling and helping people to create a supportive environment for individuals, whereas there was no supportive environment for me as a child growing up, and I used to have to deal with everything myself. Even today within my family, I still do not get the support that I need or help that I need. I'm being told that I'm worth next to nothing and I should only be on Social Security or SSI. And only if I apply for those will they even talk to me about helping me out. And there's no reason why I can't be self-sufficient and earn a decent income, but because I could not get a job within a company and grow with the company, I've been self-employed for 24 years. And how I perform my job is because I have a good speaking voice and I'm considered an inspirational behavior pattern in the way I've overcome a lot of adversity in my life to get as far as I've gotten. And I've achieved a lot of things by just believing in myself. But it was something that I, as a child, had a hard time with because I was always being told, you're helpless. You can't live on your own. You're abusive. You're stubborn. You're almost everything they could think of that was a negative term, just to keep me from becoming the person that I am. They would try to control my spirit or hold me back from becoming the person that I am today. I literally had to break away from my family and have as little to do with them. I have a sister that makes 3 times more money than I do, and yet here she is jealous of what I have. And if someone helps me, she's jealous if they help me. And I lived in a hotel, an extended stay hotel, for 8 years. And then when the Department of Transportation came in and bought up the property and gave me a buyout package and so much money a month till they pay me off, it's almost like I feel like there's resentment on their part that I get this money for my living expenses. And if I need a little help along the way, I can't even depend on them to be there for me or to help me. I have to find a way to make it on my own. I recently fell in a store, and if it wasn't for the fact that I have someone that's treating me that is willing to help me out by whatever she bills the insurance company for, she's willing to give me 50% of it because they're considering the fact that I fell over a rubber mat going into the store that is not normally there, that they, because there was no damage to the mat or there was no water on the floor, then they can get away without giving me and claiming that they're not liable for my injury, that it was just an unfortunate accident. So, and yet I've had to lose time from work because I found out that I have a hairline fracture in my ankle, and I've had to cut back from working and doing a lot of walking so that I can let it heal. Well, now that's putting me in a very awkward position because now I'm behind in my rent and I have to pay that off or move out. And if I move out, then I'm going backwards because I'm only going to end up moving back into a hotel or finding an apartment where I can share a place with someone. And I've lived on my own for too long to want to adapt to someone else. But not only that, in other situations previously where I have worked or lived and shared an apartment, because I've always had to take something at the drop of a hat and not be able to check it out and check out the people that I was going to be living with, I ended up in bad situations. So to avoid that, it would be easier for me to just go into a hotel. Well, at least now I'm in a little bit better position than I was previously, because now I know that I have money coming in that's guaranteed for me that I can use towards payment, because I've been using it towards payment where I live here. But my expenses had to total a certain amount for me to get the purchase or the amount that I've gotten. And in doing so, what that has allowed me to do is to increase or my the way I live and my standard of living. And what I would like to do is invite you to come back to next week's segment, where we will discuss another topic on how to live without limits. And I would like to wish you goodbye.